Go to Galatians chapter 2. And what I wrote up here, you might not can read it, but I put down Paul is ticked off. That's a southern Hebrew. He is highly upset. Whenever you read the book of Galatians, you can see that Paul is of the utmost aggravated in the tone of him writing the book of Galatians. Now, he has a reason to be that way. And so we're going to pick up in chapter 2. Now, you got to understand, Paul's going out through his ministry. Paul has been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. He's been bitten by a snake. He's had all these lovely things happen to him. He's been stoned and left for dead. So he builds a congregation, and while he's gone, somebody else comes in and messes it up. So he's probably saying, you know what, guys? When you've been stoned, bit, shipwrecked, then y'all can come in and do something to your own congregation. So here's a person who was sent to the nations, sent to the Gentiles, sent to not only the nations, but his Jewish brothers also. Now you understand in the book of Galatia, Galatia is a region. It's a handful of Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, Antioch. There's all kind of congregations in this region. So it's not just one. It's a lot of them that he has started a work there and he has built a ministry there, ministering about Yeshua, ministering about him being crucified, and ministering, remember the letter we talked about in Acts 15? He even had some witnesses brought that letter and said, these four things that you're going to have to do so that we can all minister together in the synagogues and be together. We talked about that last week. So in Galatians 2:1, it says this, after these 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. Now, there's two men that has the T words in it. One is Titus. Who is the other guy? Timothy. Remember that because this is important. And it says, I went up because of the revelation, or a revelation, set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential. The gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles or the nations, in order to make sure I was not running or had run in vain. So he's talking about, he went up and he's talked to these men, Peter, James, John, and the council, to make sure that as he's running, he didn't run in vain. In other words, he's still under authority, still letting his brother know what's going on. Verse 3, it says this, but even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, thank you very much, though he was a Greek. Okay, now, to start with, you see that this is why, if you don't understand what's happening in chapter 2, chapter 3 has been quoted and out of context more than probably anything that Paul's ever written. And if you don't understand that, are we saved by faith or are we saved by status? Are we saved by faith or converting to Judaism first? Because you have to remember last week what we talked about is the only way that they understood, and rightfully so, they've been taught this way for many, many, many years, the only people that could go in the world to come were those that were in Israel. No other nation had that promise. So this is what they locked into. So they had come up with a system, unless you're proselyted, you can't enter into the world to come. So this is where they were at. They were teaching this, and Paul was combating this, okay? So here you have a guy named Titus, and he says this. He says, in verse 3, he says, who was with me, Titus, was not forced to be circumcised. Titus had a Greek father and a Greek mother. There's another guy that's not mentioned here. When you read the scriptures, Timothy was circumcised by Paul. Says he was in the scripture. Why was he circumcised and all of a sudden Titus wasn't? We have to answer this. Who was Timothy's parents? His mother was Jewish and his father was a Greek. And if you read the history of Timothy, his mother raised him as a Jew. She raised him. Their household was raised in the Torah and the Halakha, what was going on of the day, even though Timothy was not circumcised. Timothy understood the ways of Torah whenever he came to conversion. And so what did Paul do? He had him circumcised, not to be Jewish, because why? He was already Jewish. But circumcision because of the Abrahamic covenant, because of Genesis 17. Remember, guys, Paul never taught against the Torah. What he taught against was, because in Titus's case, he's saying what you guys are doing is you're trying to circumcise Titus, not because of Genesis 17. You're trying to circumcise him to become a Jew. And he said, this is not right, because faith is coming through Yeshua and the sacrifice that he made. This is why he was telling them this, and this is very important. Because now look what it says next. Yet because of what? False brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to do what? Spy out our freedom. This is what made Paul mad. Because of false brethren secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Messiah Yeshua, so that they may bring us into slavery. Well, what are they doing? There's something that these people were spying out. In other words, their motives were not up front. They came in to spy out. They came in to mess up the assembly. They come in to undo what Paul and them had laid the foundations about going on in these congregations all through Galatia. But yet these people are coming in. When Paul would move out, they would come in and they would start teaching something contrary. What were they teaching? Acts 15:1, unless you're circumcised for status change, you cannot be saved. That's what the message was, and this is what this whole thing is about. Because if you remember when we started this little series a couple of weeks ago, are we justified by faith or are we justified by works? And the answer is yes, it is both, and we're going to talk about James. But you're not justified by circumcision of status change, amen, for conversion. That is a true statement, and we have to keep this stuff straight in our minds when people are making these statements, because a lot of times I will hear this when I'm combating something. They will go to Galatians 3. Well, do you know what's in Galatians 2? Do you know what's in Acts? You know, Rick was saying this. He said it's really all funny that it's called Acts of the Apostle. What does that mean? Works? The deeds? Isn't it funny, the Acts of the Apostles? We are to do things. It's telling you what all of the apostles did during these times, and also other brethren that were there. Then it says this in verse 5. It says, to them, we do not yield in submission even for a moment. He said, we didn't even yield in submission so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. In other words, these people slipped in, trying to mess up our freedoms, and they're trying to bring us back into slavery. Acts 15:10. Remember what Peter said when he stood up? Why are you trying to bring these people back under the yoke that not we or our forefathers could do? What was the yoke? It was the fences, the oral Torah that was placed, how to walk out the commandments. That's the slavery that he's mentioned. I know y'all not going to have this. Can y'all go to 1 Maccabees 2:45-46? So if you can't go to 1 Maccabees 2:45-46, if you have a cell phone, you can probably do it. But if not, write it down and you can go do it and look for yourself, because this is why this is important. This is history. We're going to be celebrating Hanukkah pretty soon. This is the writings. We use it as history. Some scriptures have Maccabees still in it. But Maccabees, 1 Maccabees 2:45-46 said this. This was after the revolution. And it says this, and Mattathias and his friends went about and tore down all the altars. That's great. They had set up all of these altars all over Israel. Remember, Antiochus Epiphanes set one up in the temple. They had destroyed it. They knocked them all down. They're purging the land. But it says they did something in verse 46. They forcibly circumcised all the uncircumcised boys that they found within the borders of Israel. So what does that word forcibly mean? That's exactly what it means. They didn't ask the parents their permission. In other words, they went in through Israel, all of Israel, from whenever they purged it. And if you were uncircumcised, you were circumcised, no matter what age. Why were they doing that? They understood the commandment of Genesis 17, yes. But remember, the time of the Maccabees is only 164 years before Messiah. They had in their reasoning and understanding, if you wasn't circumcised, you had no place in the world to come. And so that shows you how serious. I'm bringing this up because you want to know what Paul was fighting. This is how serious, when somebody can just sit here and say, what if it was like, okay, I'm ministering you today. Don't nobody leave. Just kidding. Because if you do, y'all will start evacuating right now. Nobody leave, because when we get through, all the females can leave, all the males are going to be examined. And if you're not circumcised, we will circumcise you before we go O-neg. The ladies are saying, go for it. All the guys are saying, are you crazy? Now, here's the deal, though. In reality, in real life, that happened. That happened. You're not leaving until you leave the flesh before you go. That's what forcibly means. That's how serious this was to the Jewish people of the day. We're so beyond messed up with politically correct. We hear stuff, it don't even faze us hardly anymore. We hear junk, we see junk, there's commercials junk. We're used to, in the old days, if you saw something on a commercial back in the 50s or 60s that are on the commercials today, you were beyond shocked. There's nothing that I know of that probably shocks people anymore. But I could promise you this would shock you. And that's why I'm trying to paint this picture. You have to realize how serious this was back in the days of the Jews during that time. That if they found any Israeli, any Hebrew that was not circumcised, because remember, you can read in the book of Acts and you'll see the word Hellenized Jew. That was a Jew that was Greekized. In other words, that was a Jewish person that fell in under Alexander and they was raised that way. And parents, they started mixed. What did we say about Timothy? A Jewish mother and a Greek. There were intermixing, inner everything. So guess what? Jew girl married a Greek guy, didn't circumcise the boy. But whenever he come to faith in Yeshua, Paul was compelled to have him circumcised, not to make him Jewish, he was already that. But to do what? But to bring him into the Abrahamic covenant because of Passover and everything else. So we're not up here teaching against circumcision. We're not. We believe in that. But we never teach circumcision for status change. Because status change is only by faith, by being grafted in. And that's what Paul was preaching in Romans 11. When you come to know Yeshua, you're grafted as a wild olive branch into the olive tree. It doesn't matter if you're called wild or not. Because I can promise you most of us were wild in the day. Hopefully our kids are natural shoots. But we come in from a wild place. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's just move down just a little bit. Look what happened here. And I just want to read this little section. It says, but when Cephas, or Peter, came to Antioch, it says, I opposed him to his faith because he stood condemned. Now look what he did. We read in Acts last week, whenever Paul came in and he made this statement about how the Gentiles, and then Peter stood up in his wonderful way of articulation, and he says, brethren, y'all remember when I went to Cornelius' house, and how when I went there, I wouldn't have gone because I was taught not to do that, but yet I went there by the compelling of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, led me by me into this place because I had a vision. And as I'm ministering to them, Cornelius and his household, being dirty dogs, are being Gentiles, but the Holy Spirit fell on them. So how can we, because the Father did not make a distinction between what? Them and us. Now, he just made that great speech. But now, he's over here in the region, and it says this, that Paul had to stand up and oppose him because of something. Verse 12, for before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. Now, we already cleared this up, but now he's eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and he separated himself. Why? Fearing the circumcision party, the fear of man. We talked about that last week. You get in this walk, the Father wants you to proclaim your newfound understanding of Torah. And you're going to have that opportunity this month and next month. What are you getting for Christmas? So we went through that last week. Walmart now has this new self-checkout. It just came to Loosedale. So I go through there. So I don't have to deal with people. All I got to do, don't think you ain't got to proclaim, because the machine's going to tell you something. Because now you're going through there and that machine is asking you, do you want to donate and do you want to do this? And you watch, that machine's going to tell me something. Wait till y'all go through it. You're going to see something. Do you want to donate to this Christmas fund or to this or something? And you're going to have to push no. Because it's already coming up. But here's what happens is here you have Peter. He's sitting there. He already knows the rules. He's eating with them. They have already in faith. But guess what? He was ingrained. He was ingrained. And whenever the big boys from Jerusalem came, from James, he separated himself because he didn't want them to see that he was fraternizing or eating with the Gentiles, which is totally legal to do, as long as they were following the four rules that they gave them in Acts. And then when he did that, and I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but I wanted you to see fearing the circumcision party. Does your scripture say that? Or what does it say in that verse? Fearing them that are of the circumcision. So I wanted you to see that a lot of times when you read the word circumcision, it ain't talking about the flesh. It's talking about a group of people. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you'll say, and it'll say uncircumcision. It's not talking about somebody who's uncircumcised. It's talking about Gentiles, a group of people. So I wanted you to lock in your mind that in the way this is written, what they're fighting here. All right, now let's go to chapter 3, verse 1. He says, oh, foolish Galatians. Now, when he says that, what is the punctuation after that? Usually, what is that? He's hollering at them. I didn't want to holler at you because I don't want to wake too many people up. So what happens is if you holler, he's saying, oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you or who has hypnotized you? Guys, when he says, oh, foolish Galatians, with an exclamation point, we call it a ball and bat. He's ticked off. He's mad, not only because people came in, he's mad because somebody allowed him to do it. See, that's why whenever you have in a congregation, you need leadership. Because leadership has to be a shepherd. That's what a shepherd does. A shepherd is to watch over a flock. Did I say this? Watch over a flock, not lord over a flock. There's a difference. But the watching over the flock is to keep people from bewitching and hypnotizing people and causing them to change from their faith, because that's one of the dangers that you have in Hebrew Roots, is that people will eventually come to the place to where they will deny Messiah and they will convert to Judaism. It happens all the time. And this, it does both ways. Paul, he is using this stern, tough language and is keeping it as kosher as he can to jar people to understand this is not right. This is not only not right, this ain't even close to being right. And you guys ought to know better than to allow somebody to come in and teach another gospel. Because he calls it later another gospel. He said, guys, we prepared for this. I mean, I leave for 2 minutes. I turn my back. You know, that's what he's saying. And then all of a sudden, all of this happens. And now he's having to write a letter back to them to straighten this mess all back out again. He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has hypnotized you or bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Yeshua Messiah was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are now being perfected by the what? Flesh. What flesh? Circumcision. He's telling them, are you now turning to the very thing of the flesh? Are you turning now to status change? Are you now saved by status change? What's going on? I come in here and we preach and we shout and we do some Holy Ghost, do all them little moves and all. And then all of a sudden, somebody's going to come in here with a flint rock and you're going to allow yourself to go through that thinking that you're more holy. Did you start in the Spirit? And now that you're deceived by the flesh, which one was it? Are you being perfected by the flesh? Are you being perfected what happened by the Spirit? This was the question that he asked them. Verse 4, he says, did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Everybody's quoting this verse here. Just as Abraham believed Elohim and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is Genesis 15:6. James quotes it. Paul quotes it in here and in Romans. I want to show you something first. Let's go to Matthew 11, verse 1. Because I want to show you something that it is important. As you're going to Matthew 1, I'm going to read this scripture again. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and work miracles, is it by the works of the law or is it by hearing of faith? I want you to understand something of this working of miracles. Working of miracles is vitally important for a congregation in this day and time. And the reason why it is because the working of miracles is a sign of those who believe. Because I want you to understand something. How many know who Yohanan the Immerser is? John the Baptist. He says that he was the last prophet. Amen? That's what he said. Would you think that Yohanan the Immerser was a pretty spiritual guy? Do you think he sort of had his act together? Would you not think that? I want you to listen. Was he not there when Yeshua walked down and he says, behold the Lamb of Elohim, the one who takes away the sins of the world? Yeshua walks down in that water. And he's saying, no way I can baptize you. You need to baptize me. He says, no, listen to me. He said, you need to do this so that the scriptures may be fulfilled. And at the moment, the baptism, the immersion, the mikvah took place, what happened? The dove, you taught that dove came down and sat on him. And a voice from where? Heaven said, behold, my son. Now, was John there? Everybody says yes. Y'all think this is a trick question. It's not. It's real easy. Was John there? Yes, he was there. He was the one that, because John is a what? A witness. He witnessed it. He told about it. Verse 1. When Yeshua had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John, Yohanan, heard in prison about these deeds of the Messiah, he sent word by his disciples. Yohanan and John had disciples too. They followed him. He sent them and he said to him, verse 3. Now, John's telling them to go send the disciples and ask this question. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? I'm like, am I missing something here? He was at the river. He saw Yeshua came down. They're cousins. He knows the story. He knows why he's who he is, taking the Nazarite vow. He knows what's going on. He sees Yeshua coming down. He hears and witnesses. But now he's in prison. And he asks the question, you need to go ask him, are you the one or do we look for another? How does that happen? I'm confused. But you know what? If it happened to him, it can happen to me. It can happen to me. That's how people can say, you know what? I did believe in Yeshua. Now I don't know if he's really the one yet. And they convert to Judaism. If it can happen to Yohanan, if it can happen to him, he's a prophet. He set his whole life aside. He said, I must decrease, so what? That he must increase. He's went through and preached the sermon. But sitting in prison to himself, something happened. For him to turn around and send his disciples and go ask him, I just want that to sink in. Because I can tell you, it can happen to anybody at any time. Slow fade, whatever happens, you don't think your light can go out? We have to be vigilant about understanding. And that's why he says, make your calling and election sure. You can be shining one day like a neon light. You can be 1,000 watt one day and you can be 1 watt the next. And it can happen just like that because of something going on in your life. I just want you to understand, because here is a person that is way more powerful in understanding than I'll ever be, Yohanan. And yet he sent his disciples to ask Yeshua this question. I just wanted that to sink in. But Yeshua didn't turn around and say, I can't believe this. But what did Yeshua say? He said, and Yeshua answered them, and he says, go and tell John what? What you hear and what you see. That the blinds receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Is this sort of like works? Is this sort of like Acts? And he said, and blessed is the one who's not offended by me. He didn't say, go tell John that I'm here, that Miriam's my mama, Elizabeth is mama, Zachariah's his daddy. Remember when Zachariah was in there and he made him not speak? He didn't say that. Why did he answer that way? He answered that way because he knew that's what the Messiah would be doing, because it was prophesied what he would do in this kingdom. Because I can promise you this, I just believe this, and if I'm wrong, I'll stand corrected before him when that day comes. But I promise you this, whenever Yeshua told the lepers, go show yourself to the priest probably had to go back and figure out what do we need to do, what do we have to do to make sure that they're clean? Because we ain't sort of used this ritual in a long time. You know what I'm saying?
Don't believe me, because they wouldn't even believe who he was.
Correct.
He said, if you don't believe me, at least believe the works that testify of me.
That's right.
The very same thing right here.
That's right.
Nobody, going back to the leper thing, nobody had done this in years, and now we're having
centuries.
A lineup of people that are reporting to the priest to get leprosy cleaned.
Not one.
Yeah, a lineup.
But 10 at that moment.
Right.
Yes.
So, if that doesn't follow us, where's the credibility going to be?
That's right. That's right. Anybody ever heard of T.L. Osborne? Some of the young ones probably not. T.L. Osborne was a minister. He was a missionary that was sent to the nations. T.L. Osborne had, if you read his books, he had a lot, and he didn't understand Hebrew roots. He probably didn't understand anything about a root. The thing about it is, but he understood Yeshua, and he understood him crucified, and he understood about missionary work. And here's what happened. When T.L. Osborne first went overseas, and he went into this nation, and he was up on stage, and he was ministering to people, And somebody challenged him. I mean, he's up there preaching. I mean, he's sweating and fire. He definitely was preaching because he's out there in the middle of Africa somewhere. And he's preaching, he's sweating and all of this. And after all of that, somebody turned around and walked up there on the stage because they had a Koran. And they says, what is the difference with your book and this book? What's the difference? You have a book, you have a Messiah. We have a book, we have a Messiah. What's the difference? And you know what? TL came home defeated. Because why? No signs and wonders. You just have to believe it by faith. Well, so do we. Everything he would say, he can say it back. TL came back, disillusioned, started praying. He knew he couldn't give up on the Father. Started praying. The Father filled him with his Spirit. He got the understanding, and he went back to that place. And he went back like Paul. He wasn't ticked off, but he went back with fire in his loins. And he got up there and ministered, and you know what? That guy came up there and he said, I'll show you the difference. And there was people down there in wheelchairs, and he went down there without hesitation. He raised them up. And he said, that's the difference. The difference is we have someone who is living. It's not in me. It's the one who I'm preaching about. And they started healing people. And you know what that Muslim did? He closed his Quran. He threw it away. And he said, that's what I'm talking about. And that's where he went after. Because that's why he told, go tell John. Go tell John. When somebody comes to us, you know what we need to do? You need to say, go tell them that the blind eyes is being opened. The deaf is hearing. These miracles are following those who believe. The miracles need to follow the believers of Yeshua. Don't follow the miracles, but the miracles need to follow those who believe that need the help. Amen. And that's why I'm saying, so signs, circumcision is a sign of a covenant. Circumcision is important, not for status change, but it's part of the sign of the covenant. Blood was placed in Egypt as a sign. Because guess what? Whenever that death angel passed over, if he didn't see the what? The sign, if he didn't see the blood, the firstborn in that household died. The rainbow. What does the rainbow show? It's a sign saying that he is in covenant with us in the earth. That I will never flood this earth again. So when you see a rainbow, guess what? You can be assured that you're not going to be a worldwide flood any longer. So you can see these signs all throughout the scripture, and they are important. But here's the thing. The sign is to point to something or to point to someone. But what do? We grab the sign and say, we got it. No, the sign is to direct us or to point us to something. And that's what the sign of circumcision was, to point to a covenant. To say that I'm part of the covenant. And it was a sign. Shabbat is a what? Is a sign. You're here today. And I've said this many times before. People riding up and down here, they say they're going to church. It don't matter what they say. It's a sign to know that we're in covenant. That's what it speaks, because that's what Yahweh says it speaks. It don't matter what they say. It matters what he says. Because sooner or later, somebody's going to understand these signs are pointing to something. And eventually, people that ride by, they may never come here. But it will do something in their life. It will change them to where they can get their healing. They can get their deliverance. They can get their salvation. They can change their walk. Amen. And that's what this is about. This is what this is telling us. And that's why I was saying before, how could Yochanan, how could John witness what he did by the power? Don't you know, to hear the Father speak and say, this is my son. I've never heard his voice. Not like that. And I guarantee you, if I did, it'd kill me. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying, to hear that, there's doubt that comes. Guys, this is a ministry of what he's trying to minister to us today. Whenever the tabernacle was built, the tabernacle of Moses, tabernacle of Yahweh, the temple, it doesn't matter. Whenever the Father lit that altar, when he lit it, he told the priest to do something. Don't let it go out. When he lights the fire in our hearts, we as priests have a job to do. Not to let this flame go out. Because you know what? It is up to us to keep putting the wood on it. Where do you get the wood? You get it out of this word. You get this word and you're able to keep that flame going. The more you put in there, probably the bigger the flame. But I can tell you this, you stop putting wood on there and all you got is coals left, you better get to chunking some wood before that goes out. Amen? Because if that goes out, it's not guaranteed you can find your way back. We see that in the scriptures where people is to let their light go out to where they were turned to a reprobate. I don't know how that is. I can't fathom that, and I don't want to know that. I don't want to even try to identify with that. Amen? Now what I want to do is this. Next week, I want to go into James, and I'll just give you a little bit of things about James. And it's this. James is going to tell us that we are justified by works, but I want you to understand something before we get there, and it's this. What Paul was talking about and what James is talking about when it's talking about works is two totally different things. One is talking about status change, and one is talking about if your brother is cold and hungry, and if you just walk up there and say, be warm and be fed, and you don't do anything, there's a difference. And so whenever you're reading the two and how they always pit the two against each other, they're talking about totally two different things of works. Amen? So we will get in that next week because I will tell you, we have to understand, again, the question's going to be to us, why are you following these laws and commandments? Why do you have to do them? Are you trying to work your way into salvation? And the answer is no. But what it is, the acts, the deeds, the fruits or works or whatever, follow those who believe. Because that's what Yeshua did. Everything that Yeshua told John's disciples were deeds, fruits, acts, works. These are manifestations that need to be following us who are believers. Is there a hurting and dying world out there? Beyond. I have never in my life, guys, when I tell you we as a nation is in trouble, it's beyond bad. I don't even know the word. I love the people in our military because the people in our military, they have sacrificed their lives for whatever reason they decided to go and serve. And I'm so glad because they have kept the battle for the most part on the other side of the waters. And the thing is these young men and women, they come back, all races, all sexes, you know, male, female, all of that, come back with no legs. And you know what? Come back with great attitude. Now, I understand this, and this is why you need to be praying for them and their families. Because the suicide rate in the military is pretty high. And the thing is nobody cares. Somebody give up their life for me and you to have freedom and protection. And these same people are saying, well, you shouldn't have went over there. You wouldn't have lost your leg. Saying hateful things like that. So let me just say this again. For everybody who served this country, I thank you from the bottom of all of our hearts, you know, for what you've done in your service, regardless what your position was. It doesn't matter. It takes everybody to make the thing work. So, and if you do see a veteran, you know, if y'all even in this week, go give them a big old hug, whatever you can do for them, amen, and tell them that you appreciate what they've done for you. And the reason why I say that is this too. We're losing our freedoms. We're losing it. And the thing about it is we need to be very, very thankful while we have it. Amen.
My father used to say, many times he would say, As goes the person, so goes the family. As goes the family, so goes the congregation. As the congregation goes, so goes the nation. And so when you have all these years, and what would we say, solid since 300s, it started in the first century, the church is teaching lawlessness, no law. So therefore, we become a nation and a world with no law, no government, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And because we are a no works mentality, not even realizing that the whole Abrahamic covenant would have never happened if he didn't get up and go. Because that was a work. And he had to leave his mother and father, and he had to take his wife. When you go through, we did this in Torah study week before last, we just listed several things on the board that Abraham had to do, which was by faith. So you can never separate faith and works in our walk. But what I'm saying is that because we have as a church been teaching lawlessness for a minimum of 1800 years, This is the result.
That's right.
But it says it's the great and terrible day of Yahweh.
Amen.
And the great thing is that he is doing the restoration of all things. And that's why it is a fight. Because we are countercultural at this time. But there is going to come a time that his Torah is going to flow as we continue to proclaim it, live it, and not just proclaim it and live it, but with joy. Because if we make it look like a humdrum, mully, grubby thing, then we're not going to be drawn to that. We got to be light and show the light of the truth. So now he's in the reversing of the curse, right? So if we become lawful as a congregation, as a person first, as a family, as a congregation, you know the land, the world is going to have to follow suit because he's rewinding everything back to the garden. Amen. So that's good news.
Amen.
That's good news. Amen. So let's be a part of that reformation, restoration, and continue to be lawful and do what he says to do, and we'll set that example. Joy will be heard once again.